Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ball comes in towards Akinfenwa. Oh! He's only gone and scored. This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered. We are going up on the road.
The next station is Norberton. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform edge.
Programmes, £3. £3 a programme.
All right. All right, get into the bar.
Can't get head roll.
Want to get a picture of me with a womble? Can do. And welcome to episode 138 of We Are Going Up. I'm Mark Crossley, and as you can probably tell, in a slight change to the advertised schedule, this isn't our Football League ownership special. Instead, we have decided to head out on the road again. It is Tuesday, September the 16th, 2014. Another big night of Football League action awaits. David Cameron Walker is alongside me, as ever. Hasn't even got a jacket on, it's so mild. It's a lovely late summer's eve, isn't it?
It certainly is. You can tell him where we are?
Well, I was going to leave that to you.
Well, we're at the world famous Cherry Red Record Stadium, home of course of AFC Wimbledon
and Kingstonian FC. It's your first time here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we've just popped into the ground briefly. The pitch looks lovely and there's lots and lots of fans milling around outside the ground. A lot of people have got a beer in their hand, a burger in the other, and there seems to be a very nice atmosphere just from walking through for about 5 minutes. Everyone seems to be very happy and in good spirits despite not the best of starts on the pitch.
Are you comparing that to Luton as well, the last podcast?
I do feel more at home here than I did in Luton, I'll say that.
Okay, well, we're here to watch a game tonight between two sides who are kind of relative newcomers, really, aren't they? Both to the Football League, both been in non-league in the not-so-distant past. For AFC Wimbledon this season, reasonably high expectations before the start of the season. 2 wins, 2 draws and 3 defeats in their first 7, a rather underwhelming 15 for the minute in the table. But for Burton, DC, 6 wins from 7. In all comps, 8 wins from 9, 3 points clear at the top. You saw them at Wembley when they went so close to going up. What a response at the start of this season from Gary Rowett and his players.
Fantastic. I mean, they've bounced back so well because, you know, that game at Wembley, you know, lost 1-0, real error from the keeper letting in that long free kick at the back post, and there wasn't much in it on the day, but at the same time you felt that they were missing something. They were perhaps lacking a real cutting edge, and, you know, it looks like they've recruited really well in the summer and they've put that disappointment behind them straight away and they've hit the ground running. And, you know, they had to do that last season as well. You know, if you remember, they lost out in the playoffs the season before last as well, so they're becoming, you know, experts at putting setbacks behind them, but this time they'll be hoping they can stay the course, obviously.
Okay, coming up later in the show, you're going to be able to hear from both managers, Neil Ardley and Gary Rowett.
They're going to cause a lot of teams problems with the way they play, because Akinfenwa is very, very difficult to deal with when he's got a little bit of space around him, and Tubbs makes some great runs. So, you know, for Wimbledon to have a front two like that, they're going to cause teams problems. So it's up to us to deal with it.
We always do well against the top teams. I think we did last season. They're a very good team with an outstanding manager.
And as well as hearing from them, we're also going to be speaking to the fans of both clubs, Wimbledon fans who obviously lost their club, I suppose, what, just over a decade ago, and here they are now sort of owners of the club, aren't they? Supporter-run club. So we're going to get their take on what's been a disappointing start to the new season.
We didn't take our chances in the first half against Hartlepool. Should have been 3-up at Easley. Should have been 3-1 up at Carlisle. We need to actually take our chances.
What I've seen of the games, I think actually Akinfenwa, although he hasn't scored yet, I've been really impressed. He holds the ball up really well and he lays off the ball really well, and I think once him and Tubbs get going, they're going to be a really good combination. I think our big problem at the moment is at the back.
Expectations, 20th again.
Oh really? Okay.
Above 20th then we're clearly better.
We're realists. All we want is a season where we don't have to look down. but it doesn't look like we're going to get one.
And we also caught up with our old friend, the very first ever guest. Can you remember? The very first ever guest on the first show we ever did?
You tested me in the quiz on this last season, so I already know it. It's Jeff Hawley.
It is Jeff Hawley, and we're going to speak to him about the importance of tonight's game.
You've picked a great one because it's sort of considering Burton are top of the table, and it's once again the odds are stacked against us. But the season started off well. We had a draw against Shrewsbury, one of the fancied sides. We had two good wins after that. Since then, the wheels haven't fallen off completely, but the results haven't been coming.
As for Burton, a stunning start to the season. Their fans are in dreamland. You'll hear more from this lot later.
It feels very similar to when we got promoted from the Conference, when we were always in and around the playoffs for a couple of years and then finally won it, started off at the top and didn't really get caught.
You know, home form's great, court form's great as well. Beat Wigan, QPR, got Brighton next, and hopefully come here today for a win.
Plus, of course, we'll have our unique commentary as ever on tonight's game. You ready to go?
Certainly am.
We are going up live.
Underway at the Cherry Red Records Stadium. We're inside. What do you make of it?
It's all right. I mean, it's what it lacks in capacity. It certainly makes up in character. As I said, outside, it was a really good atmosphere outside. Lots of fans milling about, even Burton and Wimbledon fans, you know, chatting together that had never met each other before. It's a good, quite a good atmosphere in here under the
I think there was alcohol involved in that.
There certainly was, but yeah. Home fans making a bit of noise at the start. Should have a good game.
Do you want me to introduce the stands to you? We're in the Paul Strank stand. Opposite you over there were the small. How many away fans would you say that is?
I'd be surprised if there's more than 100 there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the Burton fans are. That is the Golf Travel Terrace as the ball comes towards us. To our left, you've got the Nongshim stand, the Kingston Road end. And to the right, down there, is the Chelmflow Terrace. And that looks like where the. What's the word? The Ultras sit.
The real Dons, apparently. The Wombles.
Okay, well, let's talk a bit about AFC Wimbledon then. It has been a disappointing start to the season. Just the two wins so far, both away on the road, but they haven't won a league game here at King's Meadow since back in March. That's a run that they really need to end soon if they, you know, they're not going to find themselves in the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, and well, they're going to have a difficult job doing it tonight against Burton Albion, who have come absolutely flying out of the blocks and are currently top of the table. But these are the sort of games where it's a little bit of extra spice in it, I think, sometimes for the fans when you have a big team, big fancy team coming to your ground on a Tuesday night. The players might be a bit more up for it, so, you know, what better way to do it than to make a statement against a team that's done so well and to put the demons to bed and say we can win at home, you know, we're going to go forward.
Well, their first three seasons since that amazing promotion at the City of Manchester Stadium, back in the Football League, they finished 16th, 20th and 20th. What has an ambition got to be for Neil Ardley this season?
Well, I mean, he said himself that he expects to be, you know, battling out towards the top end of the division. And I suppose if you look at some of the players they've got, that's not unrealistic. I mean, League Two is so close. You know, there's two thirds of the division, if not more, could have a shout of getting into the playoffs. You know, so chance. So it's not unrealistic for him to say that, but at the same time, you speak to some of the fans and they seem a bit more content to maybe just, you know, stay in the division each season at the moment. We shouldn't get carried away with. That was a big chance for Akinfenwa there, big free header. But they, I mean, you shouldn't get carried away. We shouldn't forget how recently this club was a non-league club. I mean, we look around the ground, it is essentially, well, it'd be a very good non-league ground, but it isn't, you know, it's very humble. And they are a club that is of humble origins and, you know, are doing very, very well to be at this level.
Well, you mentioned the fans there. Let's hear from some of them. We caught up with a few Wimbledon fans outside the ground. I really like the atmosphere, as you say, outside the ground, all the fans just milling around together. And we asked them what they've made of the start of the season so far.
Having seen our victories away and the various games at home, we've got a funny situation. We're making the opportunities, but we're not converting them. You know, Tubbs has missed loads, but you can't complain. He's a leading goal scorer. We've been a bit unlucky, and I think and I hope we'll change pretty soon, starting tonight.
Our home form has been absolutely terrible. A continuation of last season. Very
very disappointing indeed.
Why do you think that is? Why are you struggling to produce in front of your own fans here?
We were discussing this just now. We think the manager is setting the team up to compensate for the opposition's strengths and weaknesses and not sending our people out there to win.
What I've seen of the games, I think actually Akinfenwa, although he hasn't scored yet, I've been really impressed. He holds the ball up really well and he lays off the ball really well, and I think once him and Tubbs get going, they're going to be a really good combination. I think our big problem at the moment is at the back. We've had a few injuries and that, and I think we've got a couple of players that really are maybe a season past their best, you know, and once we can get their defence back again, I think we'll be alright.
One bit of potentially positive news for the club so far is that the academy looks to be in good health. Two academy debuts at the weekend. One 17-year-old Ben Harrison and 19-year-old Tom Beer, yeah, both made their debuts against Accrington at the weekend. I mean, how impressed have you been with the young players coming through, and how good is it that, you know, Club Wimbledon is producing young players?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, the old Wimbledon as such, you know, they were always, you know, so famous for producing young talent, and I think for any team really, it's a great thing to do, and especially a team at this level of the football league, it's fantastic. Yeah, and it's a great testament to the work that people have been doing since the club was reformed. You know,
I think a lot of teams would have looked at Wimbledon before the start of the season and seen Bayo Akinfenwa and Matt Tubbs and been pretty envious of that forward line. They both scored goals at this level in the past. How have they done so far?
Akinfenwa, I've been surprised how delicate a touch he's got. He's a big lad, but he's got a delicate touch, and he hasn't scored, but he's nearly scored. He nearly scored at Carlisle with a cracking shot in the second half, beginning of the second half. If that had gone in, I think we'd have won at Carlisle. We deserved to win at Carlisle, but we didn't take our chances in the first half against Hartlepool. Should have been 3-0 easily. Should have been 3-1 up at Carlisle. We need to actually take our chances. We're doing a lot better than last season in creating chances, but we need to take more of them, and our defence needs to cut out silly mistakes. Too many of those.
What have you made of the job that Neil Ardley's done since he's come in as manager?
His credentials are fantastic, and in sincerity, commitment are without a doubt. However, especially last season, I and I think a lot of other fans sort of questioned his tactics and decisions of which players he kept on, which players he used, and why he was playing with one up front at home instead of giving them a hard time.
I think he's done a good job, actually. I know, you know, there's a certain sort of group of fans that seem to think it's all down to him. I don't personally. I think he's done a pretty good job, and I think, you know, maybe we're seeing with some of the young players coming through the result of some of the stuff he's been doing behind the scenes, which in the long run are going to be important. And I think it's really important for us to stay in the league until, hopefully, fingers crossed, New Plough Lane comes along. But I think, yeah, I think he's doing all right.
Expectations, 20th again.
Oh, really? Okay.
Above 20th, then we're clearly better.
We're realists. All we want is a season where we don't have to look down. But it doesn't look like we're going to get one.
You've got, obviously, the team who are top of the league and flying tonight. Well, this would be the perfect opportunity to get that first win.
I think we will. We can do stupid things like that. We've done it before when we go and beat them and handsomely. But that's what Wimbledon do sometimes.
I'm Jeff Hawley. I'm a commentator. I do some video work down here for Radio WN at AFC Wimbledon. You've picked a great one because it's sort of considering Burton the top of the table, and it's once again the odds are stacked against us. But the season started off well. We had a draw against Shrewsbury, one of the fancied sides. We had two good wins after that. Unfortunately, spoiling Luton's party somewhat after coming back to the league, and then a tough game away at Southend. Since then, the wheels haven't fallen off completely, but the results haven't been coming. The best thing, we've still been scoring goals because Matt Tubbs is banging them away for fun.
We spoke to a few fans outside the ground tonight, and they seem to have been quite pleased with Akinfenwa and Tubbs so far. Do you think they're a promising partnership?
Tubbs is of known quantity at this level. You know, given the chance, he will finish usually. But Akinfenwa, we played against him a few times. We knew what he looked like. But the more you see him, you don't appreciate until now the delicacy of his touch. He's a great layoff player. His vision, and it just sometimes it's just the chest in the ball off, laying it off first time. It's a really good strike partnership in the way it works.
And in terms of tonight's game, Burton are on fire at the minute. But this will be the night to end that sort of barren run at home, wouldn't it?
I'm not going to say no if we get something out of this one. Yeah, I'll take a point before kickoff. It's going to be a tough ask, but we struggled at home. We have been for a while.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, to be honest. We don't get on players' backs here. You know, we're always supporting the team. You don't get booing. It's generally positive. Sometimes it's a bit quiet. Maybe that counts against us. We go away from home. We've got one of the best travelling head counts of any of the teams in the division, which is kind of against our tradition in a way.
And going into this season, in terms of an expectation, I think you've had, was it 20 of the last two seasons? Were you thinking top half, playoffs, or what are you thinking now?
Well, Neil identified this season as being a promotion push. I mean, at the start of the season, it looked it could be possible. Since then, things have fallen back a bit, but we're in far, far better squad-wise than we have been for a long, long time. We've got some real quality throughout the sides. You know, dotted throughout, you've got some real quality from players who didn't expect it.
And see, 17-year-old Ben Harrison makes his second start tonight after getting his first start against Accrington at the weekend. I mean, how promising a talent is he, and are there more like him coming through the ranks?
Well, we've already got another one making his second game as well. It's Tom Beer. He's 19. They've all come through what is now proven to be, after a season, a couple of seasons of stability for the first team, the youth side is now catching up, and we've got players coming through already. He doesn't look 17. He came on in a couple of games ago and he didn't look out of place. And Tom Beer, we've seen him score quality goals. He scored the winner against the Met in the London Senior Cup last season. Useful midfield, but he can play in other positions as well. So it's not as if we're even producing players who are limited in one role. They're real prospects for the future.
That was Jeff Hawley from Radio Wimbledon talking to us here in the press box at the Cherry Red Records Stadium. And when you look at that squad, Akinfenwa, Tubbs, Harry Pell, Sean Rigg, they have a lot of quality in there that could hurt Burton tonight.
Yeah, they've certainly started very well, very positively. Akinfenwa had a great chance, just slightly misdirected his header wide of the post, but he got up well. You wouldn't expect him necessarily to do that. Tubbs looks very sharp. He seems to be having some sort of strapping on his wrist. I don't know if he's got an injury on his arm, but he seems to be very bright, and he's made a fantastic start to the season, got player of the month obviously for August. So they're going for it at the moment, but I will say Burton look quite big at the back. They look quite strong. They don't look flustered, and they look like they're going to be able to defend quite well. I mean, that was a feature of their play last season. They were very tight at the back, perhaps didn't have quite as much going forward, and they've moved to address that over the summer. But you know, it will take quality to break Burton down tonight.
Well,
I'm sure.
Let's talk more about Burton in just a second. I'm just looking at Wimbledon's results so far this season. They shipped 4 away at Carlisle, 3 at home to Stevenage, 2 at home to Hartlepool. You know, Hartlepool have been really poor up until that point. It does seem that their sort of weak area is in this half where we are right now, facing us at the back. They are leaking quite a lot of goals.
Well, yeah, but I suppose you've got to play to your strengths. If you're the talented players in your squad aren't more towards the forward end of the pitch, there's no use trying to keep it tight and starve them of the ball. Equally, Neil Ardley, I'm sure, and the coaches will want his team to be solid, will want his defenders to defend well. But when you've got 17-year-olds playing in your back four as well, there's got to be some sort of expectation placed upon them that maybe they're not going to come in and be completely solid and ready for league football right away, despite their promise that they've shown. But I'm sure it's obviously an area that they're going to want to work on. But at the moment, it looks like attack is the best form of defence for them.
Well, speaking about attacking, what about tonight's visitors? Stunning start to the season. They've played 9 games in all competitions and they've won 8 of them, just the one draw, and included in that 2 Capital One Cup victories at the Pirelli, 1 against Premier League Queen's Park Rangers and 1 against Wigan Athletic of the Championship. It's been a brilliant start to the season for Burton Albion and Gary Rowett.
We are going up live. We've got the Football League covered.
So on to tonight's visitors then. 3 points clear at the top of League 2 at the start of play tonight, and Gary Rowett linked with a move to Blackpool, despite the fact that Jose Riga at the time of recording is still there. What did you make of that news when you heard that Rowett had been linked to a move to Bloomfield Road?
Well, on the one hand, I wasn't surprised, because I think he's done a very good job at Burton, you know, carving out a reputation as a very promising manager. But I was surprised that it was Blackpool, as you said, because they still very much got a manager, and he's still there almost 2 weeks after the approach was made. So that's a discussion for another day perhaps. But I mean, it just serves to highlight what a good job Rowett's doing. You know, 2 playoff finishes, one playoff final, both times you'd think, you know, are they going to be able to come back? Is the motivation going to still be there? They've added to the squad well this summer. They've even coped with losing one of their best players in the last few seasons in Billy Key, and you know, they're leading the way this season. So it shows real good management, I think, for Rowett to be able to rejuvenate the squad each summer and keep them going.
Well, they've been absolutely brilliant at home so far this season. Played 5, won 5 in all competitions. They, of course, ended York's 23 game run, was it, without defeat in League 2. They had a win against Portsmouth the weekend before by 2-0. They have strengthened the squad over the summer, and we managed to catch up with a couple of Burton fans outside tonight, and we asked them what they've made of this very impressive start to the season.
Really impressed. We look at different teams started playing some good football and getting it down, so we look much better, I fancy it this season, to be fair.
And you brought in a number of new signings manage in the summer. Obviously, Billy Key's gone as well, which is a loss, but a lot of the new players that have come in seem to perform so well, like Akins, Messinio, Bevan have all got on the score sheet so far. Have you been impressed with them?
Very. I think it's been the best summer for Shenton. We're not really looking like we're missing Key. We're bringing the likes of Bevan in, obviously an experienced striker around the level. I think we've probably been the best piece of business we've done over the summer, really, letting Key go.
And amongst the fans, obviously you've been close in the last two seasons, playoff semi-final then playoff final. Does it feel like this is the year that you're going to do it?
It does. It feels very similar to when we got promoted from the conference, when we were always in and around the playoffs for a couple of years and then finally won it, started off at the top and didn't really get caught.
Beautiful start. I mean, Prues are doing somewhat well. If Rowett's been, you know, asked by, you know, Championship Blackpool, you know, been approached by him, he said, no, if, you know, stay with us. You know, home form's great. Cup form's great as well. Beat Wigan, QPR, got Brighton next, and hopefully come here today for a win.
You made quite a few new signings over the summer. The likes of Akins, Bevan, Messinio have all got on the score sheet so far. You've been impressed?
Yeah, very impressed. I like the look of Akins, you know, big lad coming in. Obviously, Key's gone, you know, main top scorer. But, I mean, Akins out on the wing where he's playing, he's doing the job. Bevan's come in doing the job. And McGurk, you know, when he plays, he's always on the score sheet grabbing a goal.
I suppose another bit of good news you've had so far is that Gary Rowett turned down the opportunity to speak to Blackpool when they approached him. I mean, you must be delighted that he's staying, but I suppose the second part of the question is, do you worry that if a more stable club than Blackpool were to come in for him, that he might leave?
I think that the only possibility would be one of his old clubs like Birmingham, but at the moment I could see him staying, and up until the end of the season, getting the promotion, seeing the job through with the solid team that he's built over these 3 years.
And there's probably quite a few people listening to this who don't really know the sort of ins and outs of Burton's squad. If there's one player who really hasn't had the credit so far this season that you were going to point out to people, who would that be?
I would probably say it's been Messinio in midfield, to be fair. He's gone around his business quietly, but really come into it last couple of games. Didn't particularly start off pre-season, but has really done well.
And are you expecting to win tonight?
It'd be a tough game. I'd probably take a point, but I'd like to think if we go out and get an early goal, then we'll kill the game off and win.
Well, you've actually been looking at the side that they put out at Wembley back in May, that 1-0 defeat to Fleetwood compared to the 11 that they've got there today, and there's been quite a few changes.
Significant changes, yes, indeed. Only three of the starting 11 tonight were actually part of the team that played at Wembley in that League Two playoff final. You know, there's been a number of players recruited over the summer. Some have left as well, most notably Billy Key, who left. But the likes of, you know, Jacob Blythe, who's coming from Leicester, Lucas Akins from Stevenage, Bevan from Preston, who scored a few goals already, John Messinio has come in as well. You know, they've recruited well. I mean, these players so far this season have performed well. A number of them have gotten the score sheet. They've played at higher levels. They look like they've really added something to this Burton Albion team. And, you know, he's refreshed the team well. And we did say at the end of last season, didn't we, that he needed to maybe get that balance between attack and defence that perhaps wasn't there at times last season, despite them getting to the playoff final. And, you know, so far, so good for them.
One of the things I do like about this division, and we've seen it quite a lot, with teams sort of coming up from non-league and getting promoted. I mean, you've got to think there are teams in this division like Portsmouth are there, Oxford, Plymouth, Carlisle, teams that have all got a sort of history of playing at high level. And I like the fact that a sort of smaller team can come in with a good manager and a good infrastructure, work their way up.
And that's very much what they've got. You know, they do have a nice little stadium. We've talked about their sort of off the pitch setup before, haven't we? With a, you know, excellent sort of community scheme they've got up in.
We had Andy Taylor on a few years ago.
Yep, and you know they're also able to make use of the St George's Park training facility, which can only help them. Which is a good thing for, you know, good thing for the FA to be doing to help them as well. You know, so they've got a nice little setup, and they do have a very promising young manager who has had two very impressive seasons. But it'll mean nothing to him if he doesn't get promoted. Really, you know, he will want to get him up this season and make sure he keeps moving them forward rather than being the nearly man.
Just one final word on him. How do you feel about them announcing the approach when Blackpool has still got a manager in charge? Notice Danny Taylor in The Guardian, in his column at the weekend, had a pop at Gary Rowett for that, said he didn't like to see it. Would you go along with that?
I don't know whether
it seemed like a bit of a boast that, oh, look at me, I've been sort of headhunted by a bigger club, but I'm going to stay. He could have kept it to himself, is what I'm saying.
Well, but was it him or did the club announce it? You
know? Well, that's what I'm asking, I don't know.
I think, you know, you can look at it a couple of ways. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think let's not be naive about things. You know, approaches, illegal or otherwise, are made for managers and players all the time. You know, and if we heard about all of them, then I'm sure there would be a lot of people who get very upset. I mean, this time we've heard about it, and it's I suppose maybe it's a reassuring thing that maybe they were worried that it was going to come out anyway, so they thought, well, we'll kind of take control of it and reassure our fans that, you know, Gary's going nowhere, rather than leave it open to speculation and it, when not commenting. So from a Burton fan's point of view, I suppose it's a good thing to hear that. But, you know, maybe, you know, if you're a Blackpool fan or if you're Jose Riga, you may not appreciate it.
Well, he's certainly there for the time being at Burton, and obviously wants to get them promoted this season. Let's see if they can build on this unbeaten start to the season tonight. Are we ready for our unique commentary highlights? We are surrounded by serious journalists here, so I feel a little bit guilty.
I'm not comfortable calling it unique or commentary, really.
Observations from the League Two game between AFC Wimbledon and Burton. You'll hear them next.
We are going up on the road. We've got the Football League covered.
So we're underway, as you might be able to tell. 0-0 between Wimbledon and Burton, and DC in a slight change to the previous live specials we've done, where we were sort of stuck down by the corner flag. We're actually in the press box here. What do you make of it?
We're living the high life, aren't we? I mean, it's all right, actually. It is quite interesting to actually see what all the sort of journos are doing covering the game. Some of the local journos, some of the, you know, the guys covering it from the club's commentary services and stuff, all beavering away on their laptops and hurriedly talking into their headsets as the game unfolds here.
Do you feel slightly more reluctant to point out stupid things? Because I certainly do.
Yes, slightly. But I don't know, we shouldn't let that stop us.
No, absolutely. I mean, if we spot something ridiculous, like we had Steve McNulty last time. This time we've got Akinfenwa. So we're taking in the glamour side of League Two.
I think Steve McNulty is positively svelte compared to Akinfenwa. I mean, he looks big in the pictures, but up close and personal, he is massive.
Oh, ball into the box. Akinfenwa goes up. Oh, it's cleared. Shot the edge of the area. Oh, off the top of the crossbar. Stinging volley. AFC Wimbledon closest to breaking the deadlock so far. Who hit that? Is that Matt Tubbs there? Is that with the strapping on his arm?
It was either Tubbs or Sean Rigg sort of coming in from the left hand side. A fantastic volley, really caught it well, but unfortunately just smacked off the crossbar and went out of the ground over the stand. But positive intent from Wimbledon.
Oh, opportunity for Wimbledon, and they've taken the lead. Matt Tubbs has scored again, put clean through, low shot into the back of the net past John McLaughlin. And with 20 minutes gone, DC, Wimbledon have taken the lead, and they've probably edged it so far.
Oh, they've more than edged it. You know, they've had a number of opportunities. Burton haven't really had a shot at all, maybe one half chance. Tubbs has looked lively, he's looked sharp, got through there, broke past the back line, clean through, a composed finish.
Well, we might have a turn-up for the books on the cards here. Wimbledon 1, Burton Albion 0. You've made a schoolboy error, haven't you? I don't know if you brought any Haribo today, but you've gone and left your bag down in the press sort of room thing.
I wasn't really familiar with the setup, you see. I've left my bag unattended in some little porter cabin halfway across the pitch at my own risk.
You have.
There's nothing much in there to steal, though. An old coat, I think a can of deodorant and some crumbly Jaffa cakes.
Oh, I could quite do a crumbly Jaffa cake right now. Oh, great ball out to the right to Frankham. He's got a bit of space in front of him. Tubbs and Akinfenwa up there. It's all towards Akinfenwa. He's brought it down. Oh!
So unlucky. Another accurate long diagonal ball from George Frankham. Excellent control from the chest for Akinfenwa. Brought it down, set it himself for the shot, and just put it past the far post. Really good chance. It really probably should have taken it with the time he had when he brought that down to give himself the room for the shot. He should have scored the goal there.
What do you think, if you're a defender, you think when you look at the team sheet and you say, bloody, I've got to play against Akinfenwa today?
I mean, it's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Because, look, he's a very powerful player. He's very big. player, very strong. You're not going to knock him off the ball, but you wouldn't think he's that athletic. You'd think you'd be able to outjump him and you'd be able to outrun him. So any ball's played over the top, you think you can get there before him, and if you're going to bat off against him in the header, as long as you've got the run on him, you should be able to beat him in the air. But once you get into a battle where he's got his arms up near you, he's going to win it every time. So it's a very difficult challenge, but I'm sure there are ways to combat him. They're not doing it that well so far.
Do you know this is the first of two times I'm going to be watching Burton Albion this week?
Really?
Yes, because on Saturday we're playing them at home and I'm heading back for that. So think of this as a scouting report.
Excellent. You'd probably give your mate Stuart Day a call then. Should you offer your services? He might pay you.
I should have done, come to think of it. I think mate is pushing it a bit far. He agreed to come and speak to us. That's about it. But so far, I've got to say, we can beat these. We're not quite as physical as Wimbledon are, but I think they're beatable. Ball comes in towards Akinfenwa.
Oh! He's only gone and scored. Adebayo Akinfenwa. The beast, I presume. And the players run away in celebration to the far corner over there. Was that another cross by Frampton from this right? I think it was. Beautifully placed, just dipping towards the far post, and in he came with a bullet header. And the league leaders, undefeated so far this season, DC, up against it, 2-0.
And as you can hear, a goal rapturously received by the Wimbledon fans. Again, no more than they deserved. It's what, a third or fourth chance Akinfenwa has had tonight. This time he made no mistake. Just peeled off his marker. Just a couple of steps back. The ball fell nicely for him on his head and planted it back where it came from into the far corner. Fantastic performance so far from Wimbledon. Burton don't look anything like a top of the table side.
I think us turning up is completely jinxed them. By the way, have you seen the high-tech scoreboard we've got there opposite us?
Excellent.
It might be a non-league, Graham, but it's got a scoreboard. And it reads Wimbledon 2, Burton 0. Listen to the roar that's going to greet this. Terrific first half from AFC Wimbledon. AFC Wimbledon 2, the league leaders Burton Albion 0. The players head towards us in the tunnel. DC, what have you made of that first half?
Fantastic. Wimbledon absolutely deserve to be 2-0 up. They could be even more up, to be honest with you. They've had four or five clear-cut chances. Burton haven't really had any. They'll be bitterly disappointed with that first half showing. Gary Rowett's going to need to do some organising, need to gee his troops up and get them back out fighting to try and even get a point here.
Half-time, Wimbledon 2, Burton 0.
We are going up. Live.
I should say, just as the second half is about to resume, DC, we've been absolutely spoiled in this press box at half-time. Tea and biscuits.
An absolutely luxurious box of biscuits.
With your eyes lit up. Absolutely. Get your little Jaffa cakes on the floor.
A delightful array of treats for us to choose. I delved in without hesitation.
And Jeff Hawley, who sat behind us, commentator for Radio Wimbledon, who you heard from earlier, has told us that they're not usually this good.
Yeah, it was simply turned to us at half-time and said, which team's top of the league?
That's a very good point. Let's see what Burton can do in the second half. Here come Wimbledon. Akinfenwa involved once again. Oh, what?
The play just petered out there, but that was a lovely bit. It was a lovely move there, and it was all started by the 17-year-old left back. Ben Harrison, number 29, he won the good 50-50 challenge. He was strong, got to the ball first when it looked like he might not make it, won the ball, composed, and then lovely little back heel inside to the midfielder who then spread the play. He doesn't look 17 either, does he? As Jeff was saying before the start of the game, he looks quite strong, looks quite athletic and physical for a 17-year-old. And God knows
what were you doing when you were 17?
Exactly. I was just trying to think.
It's that long ago.
I was probably, it was 11 years ago. I was 17. I was in sixth form.
Are you playing football to any kind of standard?
I think we're probably just about starting our five-a-side team, Queen's Park Strangers.
Did you play like strangers?
Certainly did.
Yeah. News just in.
What is this?
What do you think it is?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're looking at it. It's a piece of paper with the attendance on, you clown. What is it?
I thought we'd been given some sort of like lottery ticket or something.
First time in the press box for David Cameron Walker. 3,195 is the bit you meant to say. 86 fans from Burton. Not bad for a Tuesday night all the way down in South West London. Even if they are top of the league. What are you chuckling to yourself about?
It's Adam Barrett. He's a classic, you know, lower league, if you like, centre-half. I mean, we were talking about Wimbledon's defence at the start. I mean, he is an experienced defender. They've got him on loan from Gillingham. He's been around at this level for a while, and he's, you know, played for some reasonably successful teams at this level as well. You know, and he looks, you know, strong, first to everything in the air, but there, instead of heading the ball out, which he looked like he was going to do, he thought, oh, I'll bring this down here. And you're thinking, OK, you brought this down, now what are you going to do with it? He obviously had a change of heart and thought, no, stick to what I know. Whack. Foot straight through it, right down the other end of the pitch. No blue shirt in sight.
Give me this over the Champions League any day. So an hour played now. It's AFC Wimbledon 2, the League 2 leaders, Burton Albion 0. Burton have had slightly more possession in the first 15 minutes of the second half than they did in the first half, but they haven't really created a clear-cut opportunity yet.
No. There was a good ball in earlier. It was a sort of a half chance early on in the second half with a header, which just went over the bar. It looks like they have been told to, you know, up the tempo, you know, move the ball quicker. They are doing that. They're getting it wide when they can, getting it into space. See number 11, Alex McDonald, when he's got the ball, he keeps coming inside all the time, which I think once you do that one too many times, you know, unless you're exceptionally skillful, it becomes quite easy to defend against. You know, you can see that they have got quality. I think whenever Bevan gets the ball, he looks lively, looks like he could do something. He's got a good first touch. They just haven't got the ball to him enough in the right areas. And, you know, again, Wimbledon have survived that sort of first 5-10 minutes in the second half, and now they look like they're, you know, a bit more comfortable again.
It's 3-0. Wimbledon have pretty much taken this game away from Burton Albion now. Low ball across the 6-yard box, and it's been turned into the back of the net. And now a yellow card. Was that turned over by Akinfenwa? I've got to confess, I was looking down at the other scores for a second then.
Very much so. Tapped in at the far post from a yard out by Akinfenwa. He immediately ran into the crowd to celebrate with the fans. They love him here. But the referee decided to yellow card him for his actions. Slightly harsh, I feel. But a good move by Wimbledon. And listen to the fans. 3-0 up against the team that's top of the league.
I think that might be the first goal in all the live specials we've done that I've missed, so I'm really annoyed with myself. But it's the second for Bayo Akinfenwa. It's just typical that when we turn up, he turns it on. We've talked about him so much over the years on the show. Do you remember when we did that parody of his what was the chart hit that went, they throw your hands up now, singing Bayo Akinfenwa? And we've turned up and he scored two goals. And
Tayo Cruz,
that's the one. And well, there you go. AFC Wimbledon are going to break the six-month hoodoo at home. Tubbs, this is going to be an absolute row, I can tell you. Frankham, ball in to the back post, and goes Rigg. Oh, just gone over the top. Sean Rigg coming in on it. Burton Albion are all over the place.
I don't know what to do. They can't deal with it. Akinfenwa was winning the flick-ons. You've got Frampton putting in the good balls. You know, they're getting men in the box to get on the end of those balls. And, you know, 3-0, the fans are in raptures. And, you know, we've still got, what, over 20 minutes left. There could be more here.
So if you've been on our Twitter page over the last 24 hours or so, we are at Wagyu Podcast on Twitter. You will have seen a picture of DC in the Wimbledon Club shop with the Womble. What's the Womble called?
Haydon the Womble.
Haydon the Womble, who is not only available in a soft toy format in the shop, he's also in the matchday squad, according to the programme.
Very much so, yeah. You've got Neil Arley, Neil Cox, Simon Bassey, Robin Bedford, the management team. And then there he is, Haydon the Womble, the next man on the list. The away socks are still available for sponsorship.
There you go. Oh, listen to this. The beast is going off. Bayo Akinfenwa substituted after a stunning performance. So you mentioned Neil Ardley and Neil Cox in the programme there a second ago. You told me that you've got a story about them or something.
I have, yeah. I've met Neil Ardley and Neil Cox, who about 10, 11 years ago now, were both part of the Watford defence in the Ray Lewington era, immediately after, in immediately after Gianluca Vialli left the club, they were two of the cornerstones really of the defence. It got us through a pretty tricky time in our history when all the money went up the spout. But I met the pair of them once, and it was in a toilet.
What?
It's not as bad as it sounds.
This wasn't a pre-arranged meeting, I'm assuming.
No, absolutely not. Completely impromptu. It was in a toilet of a Vodka Revolution.
Classic.
In Watford town centre, around Christmas time, when the Watford squad were out on their Christmas party.
You're that much of a fan, you followed them to Vodka Revolution.
We just happened to be, because they went out on a, it tells you all you need to know about footballers, well, they went out on a Monday night, which is student night.
Yeah.
So I was there in sixth form, obviously, going out, and not at all concerned about my A-levels.
Or playing for Queen's Park Strangers.
Yeah. And they were all the theme of the Watford squad at the time, they all had to dress up as Elton John, for obvious reasons. And I was in the toilet.
So you had a meeting in a toilet with Elton John?
I would turn around and I was sort of was washing my hands, you know, getting some spray in a toilet. And they walked in and I recognised them immediately. And I was like, all right, lads, still a big one. I was, yeah, probably had a few at that point.
So yeah, as if you knew them.
I was a bit more forthcoming than I would have otherwise been. And there was a distinct difference between the reaction of Ardley and Cox. Cox did not want to know. He was not interested in engaging with the fans. However, Neil Ardley, who I suspect was a little bit more...
inebriated.
Yeah, in more salubrious mood than Neil Cox at the time, was very happy to talk to me, shake my hand and wish me a very Merry Christmas.
Well, I reckon Neil Ardley's going to be more than happy to talk to you tonight after watching this performance. Maybe not in the toilet of the Vodka Revolutions in the middle of Kingston, wherever we are here.
I wonder if he'll remember. I don't think he would.
That's going to be my first question. When we go with all this pool of all the professional journalists in this press box, we're all going to be asking about the performance of your strike force tonight and the first home win in 6 months. We're going to go in with, do you remember meeting me in the toilet of Vodka Revolutions in 2003? Do we know what's released on Cherry Red Records, by the way?
Well, I was looking up their Wikipedia page as we were walking to the ground. The only two artists I recognised on their...
It's not Eagle Eye Cherry and Nena Cherry, is it?
No. Susie Quattro.
Okay, yeah.
And Everything But The Girl.
Oh, brilliant. Well, one song missing, which...
A host of other fine independent bands. Unfortunately, my inferior music knowledge wasn't able to identify them. But you, given your day job, should be able to tell me a thing or two about them if you look at
the list. I know Tracy Thorne from Everything But The Girl did a tune with Massive Attack, which you probably know, called Protection. Or corner comes in. Oh, that looks like a push. Ben Harrison, great ball in. Oh! What a cross.
Fantastic cross from young man.
Ben Harrison. And then who was that? Is that Tubbs? Flying in. Matt Tubbs should have made it 4-0 and he's missed it, headed it wide.
Yeah, just didn't get enough on the header. He sort of tried to glance it when a firm header would have done the job. It was a fantastic cross. And Ben Harrison was getting a real great reception. A lot of encouragement from the home fans. They're obviously a big fan favourite already after only two games.
What's going on here? Has he been sent off?
No,
been sent off. Brilliant. Matt Tubbs has been sent off there. Amongst all that, I don't know. You were raving about Ben Harrison, and was that a second yellow? And Matt Tubbs has just disappeared straight down the tunnel in front of us.
It wasn't that bad a miss. Come on, ref.
Oh God, this is why we don't do this for a living. We're starting here talking away, and all the guys around us are. Oh, he's gone. Two yellows. Do we know what that was for?
Yeah, tried to punch it instead of heading.
Oh right, I see. We've just been told that he...
But the professionals in the press box have tried to work out what happened there.
I've got my glasses on as well. I've got no excuse.
And we were right behind it here and I couldn't really see it, but it looked like he tried to glance it in.
He's gone to punch it with his hand and he's got a second yellow card.
Apparently the ref has deemed him to have attempted or indeed handled the ball and off he went. We all were alerted to the fact they've been sending off when they wheeled out the big rusty tunnel that comes out.
I was thinking it's a bit early for that. I've still got 10 minutes to go. Anyway, Wimbledon are down to 10 men, but they still lead by 3-0. We've managed to miss a goal on a red card in the last 10 minutes. Standard. 6 minutes of added time at the end of this game. There's been quite a few stoppages in the second half. And I particularly like the fact that, because it's such a small ground, we're on the second from the back row of the press box, and behind us is the PA announcer who had binoculars on him to see what the fourth officials board on the opposite side of the pitch was reading there.
Come on, referee!
The Wimbledon fans want the final whistle, and they've got it.
What a performance. Their first home win since March. And the league leaders, previously unbeaten this season, have been demolished. Two goals from Bayo Akinfenwa and one from Matt Tubbs, who was later sent off for a second yellow card. The two strikers who started the season well for Wimbledon, they hadn't been able to shore it up at the back, but they shored it up at the back tonight. And DC, they've won by 3-0. Excellent night for Neil Ardley.
Yeah, fantastic. A thoroughly deserved performance. I mean, they were the better team from start to finish. That's what won them the game, really. They went at them from the word go. Burton couldn't get into their game. You know, we could see at times that they do have some quality players in the midfield that can kick the ball and can, you know, play good football. But Wimbledon simply didn't allow them to have the ball. They were very positive going forward. They got the ball forward early to Tubbs, to Akinfenwa. Got it in good areas. Good delivery from Frankham in particular. You know, good finishes when they had the chance. Although, you know, Akinfenwa missed a few chances early on, but he kept going, kept getting in the positions, and he eventually scored his 2 goals. Could have had more. A real morale boosting victory for AFC Wimbledon, and one that they will need to take into their next game against Morecambe at home on Saturday, another team that are doing well this season, but they will of course now be without Matt Tubbs.
They will. So Gary Rowan, the Burton player, is just walking down the tunnel in front of us. We are hoping to grab a word with the Burton Albion manager and with Wimbledon's manager Neil Ardley in just a second. Full time score, it's finished. We are going up live at the Cherry Red Record Stadium as the Wimbledon players go down the tunnel. AFC Wimbledon 3, Burton Albion 0.
We are going up on the road.
So it's all over then. Brilliant 3 points for AFC Wimbledon. And after the game, we managed to grab a word with both managers, starting with the Dons boss, Neil Ardley, who was delighted with his side's first win at King's Meadow since March.
And remind me of stats that ruin my weekends regularly. It's nice to have a smile. It's nice to make this a happy place for change, because it hasn't been that. But the last two at home, Southend and this game here, we've done the club proud. Everyone, every single person at our club has been willing to get his first goal. He's a fantastic lad. The players love him, and he does so much unselfish work for the team. We haven't been supplying him with enough, and that's been my bugbear. We haven't put in enough crosses. We haven't used enough width during games, and that's what he's going to score. He's not going to run in behind off players' shoulders. That's what Tubbs has done. First goal, that's what Tubbs's game is. Bees is to supply crosses. He'll get on the end of it, and like you say, could have had four before he even got on the score sheet. So today we supplied him with crosses, and he responded with the goals.
Does it make it even sweeter coming against the league leaders?
We always do well against the top teams. I think we did last season. It's pleasing no matter who it's against. It's a win. They're a very good team with an outstanding manager, and I'm not just saying that. I think he'll go on to certainly bigger and better things with his record, and I think they're probably set up to consistently be one of the best teams in the league.
Neil, you talked in your programme notes before the match about defensive concentration, so you must be delighted with the clean sheet tonight.
Absolutely. We had it for most parts against Accrington, but it affected our performance going forward. Today we asked to raise the levels of going forward but keep the resilience and focus in the defending, and we did get the best of both worlds today, so that was really pleasing.
Another good performance from young Ben Harrison.
Brilliant. You know, the other day Callum Kennedy wasn't well enough probably to play. He'd been ill during the week, so it was an easy decision to make. Today was tougher to decide whether I kept Ben in, especially with Akins out on the right, who's been playing well for them, and I made a tough call, and I made the right call because he was outstanding again. So we'll nurture him, we'll look after him, but him and Tom Beer, absolutely delighted with the pair.
So Neil Ardley obviously delighted with his side's performance tonight. What about his opposing number, her first defeat of the season for Burton Albion? Here's Gary Rowett.
It's one of those, isn't it, where you've got to try and stay relatively level headed, because we spoke about it, but you know, we're not going to win every game. We've started the season in fantastic form, you know, and still we can sit here saying we've won our first 8 games in all competitions, drawn one and lost one. So again, it's not a horrendous record to have so far, but I'm just disappointed. You're disappointed. I've said to the lads in there that we've created really, really high standards so far this season, since the first day we came back in pre-season, and I would say that's the first time we've dropped below those standards that we've created. So it's as simple as that. I think sometimes you always look at what your players don't do or what they don't give you, but I have to say that I felt as though, you know, in a typical blood and thunder League Two game, I just felt as though Wimbledon showed a little bit more desire on the night and showed a little bit more appetite to want to win the game. It just looked a little bit more like the game meant more to them than it did to us. And I've said that to the players in there, and I'm disappointed with our standards during the game, particularly disappointed with the goals. The first goal was a straight ball down the middle, as good as a run by Tubbs it was, and he's very good at that, and we warned them before the game and during the week. The second goal came from a throw-in where it got thrown to their player who turned and had time to put it in the box, and then Akinfenwa had a free header. So again, it's a very, very poor goal from our point of view, and the third one just looked a little bit like Keystone Cup. So I was just disappointed on the night, but again, I've just said to the players in there, listen, you know, if we want to be a good side, then we're going to have to handle setbacks. We're not going to win every game, and that's sometimes how you get to show a little bit of character. You know, it's okay when everything's going fine, and it wasn't to be tonight, and it's probably, I would say, my least favourite place in the world to come, because we don't seem to have had an awful lot of joy here over the three or four seasons that we've been here.
So Gary Rowett, disappointed but not too disheartened about their first defeat of the season. Now, after the game, we should say, we're just wandering away from the stadium now. We popped into, what would you describe as, like the social club?
Yeah, well, it's the supporters bar, I'd say, yeah.
The supporters bar, and the first person we're greeted with was the big man.
The beast himself.
Adebayo Akinfenwa with two goals tonight, and to top his night off, a photograph with you.
Absolutely.
Which you can see on Twitter now.
I don't know who the real beast is here.
Well, someone's replied, we've only just stuck it up there, as I recall this, someone's replied, Christ, his arms are bigger than your head. Was the line.
I did shake his hand after as well, and he's got an extremely firm grip.
There you go. You can see that on the new website, wearegoingup.co.uk.
I don't think we're trying either.
And anyway, we'll dip in now, because here's a little bit of what Bayo Akinfenwa was staying on was saying on stage in front of the Wimbledon fans after the game.
First goal tonight, Bayo, for the club.
First and then the second, so you know, hopefully it's the second of many, but more importantly, hopefully another 3 points on Saturday.
Absolutely. Because I don't know if you know, but Morecambe actually managed to lose tonight, so their losing run's begun. So we're going to have to pile that pressure on them on Saturday, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to have to. You know, I thought it was one of our best performances. I thought we managed the game very well, and that's just what we've got to do again. Hopefully we can get this run and get up this table. So keep supporting us.
You're listening to We Are Going Up.
The beast, Adebayo Akinfenwa's first two goals for the club tonight in their first home win of the season. And we're just kind of wandering slowly back to Norbiton train station now. What have you made of your first trip to Kingstonian?
I thought it was fantastic, actually. Really enjoyed it. Great atmosphere, obviously helped by the good performance from the players on the pitch. But just as I said at the start, really nice atmosphere outside the ground. You know, they've got that supporters bar, which was well packed with fans before and after the game. And I thought it was a real nice touch, as you heard the audio there of Akinfenwa talking to the fans, you know, straight out of the dressing room, you know, not just talking on the stage, but also mixing with the fans in the bar. You know, that shows a real good connection between the players and the fans. And I think, you know, more clubs could do with that sort of thing. Obviously, this is a club that's rooted in its sort of fan-led traditions, and it's great to see that's going on here. And you just real got a good sense of team spirit, you know, between the players and the fans from that. And it was real, you know, nice to see, sending everyone home, I think, on a high.
Well, there was a full programme of Football League action tonight, so the Wimbledon fans happy here. Let's have a quick chat about who else is happy around the country as we scan down at the scores. What about Russell Slade at Leyton Orient? There's a lot of press at the weekend after they lost 2-0 at home to Colchester that they needed to get a result for him away at Notts County tonight. How have they gone?
They have come from behind to get a draw, a 1-1 draw away at Notts County. Chris Dagnall equalised in the 51st minute from the penalty spot, and they went behind to a penalty from Zeli Ismail as well. So two penalties in that game. Is a draw enough to keep Slade?
I'm not sure. Probably. We'll have to watch this space. James Beattie's gone. He's left Accrington by mutual consent. Tony Humes has got the Colchester job. Chris Powell has gone in at Huddersfield, which I think we're pleased about.
Very much so, yeah.
very, very nice guy, obviously, and pretty hard done by, I think, at Charlton, although they, I suppose they were struggling a little bit last season. But yeah, we're going to keep this roundup quite short tonight because this podcast is probably long enough as it is. Next week, you are in Portugal, I believe.
I had a bit of warm weather training.
So you're away in Portugal next week. So there will be a podcast next week that I will do in the studio, and then is when we'll look at where we're up to in the season, as opposed to sort of doing these specials. But there is some other business to round up. Sorry, have you got something else to say about the results there?
Well, let me pick out a few interesting results. I was convinced that Watford were going to lose to Blackpool, given their first win of the season tonight, but we managed to win 1-0. Leeds winning away from home at Bournemouth. It's a decent result. But Neil Redfern has been ruled out of the running for the job by Chelino, so the wait goes on to see who will become the new Leeds manager. Norwich looking really strong, 3-0 winners at Brentford, another loss for Cardiff, losing at home 1-0 to Middlesbrough. It will be interesting to see how long it takes before Solskjaer really becomes under pressure there from Vincent Tan and the regime at Cardiff.
Not too long, I think, is the answer to that question.
I think you're right.
We'll have to wait and see.
League One, Bristol City won again, 3-0. They're flying, looking really strong.
What about League Two, though? Can I just say at the top now?
Hang on a minute. There's one more result in League One that I think we need to point out for the benefit of you, if no one else. Rochdale 4, Walsall 0.
Ah, you say that. I prefer to look at the score of the JD in League Two. Bury 2, Stevenage 1. I'm going home this weekend to watch Bury against Burton Albion. Let's hope for another performance like that from Burton Albion. Because if we win on Saturday, by my calculations, we'll be top of the league. What a run we've been on. Another win tonight.
Although, in some ways, you could look at it and say tonight's performance may well work against you, because they're going to want to bounce back with a performance. Teams that go for promotion rarely lose back-to-back games, so they'll be looking to bounce back strong.
We are looking very good, though. I'm a bit worried about the fact that the only three games in the league we haven't won so far, we've got 5 wins out of 8, the only three we haven't won are the 3 games I've been to. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening this week then. We should tell you about a Audible offer, which you might know about if you listened last season, but we're very pleased to announce once again this season we have teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook of your choosing. This is how it works. If you're a new listener, this is what you need to do. You need to register for a 1-month free trial, claim your free audiobook. There's about 100,000 on there to pick from, there's so many. And then basically the audiobook will be yours, whether or not you decide to cancel within the 30-day sort of trial period. So that's completely up to you. Two reasons we do this. One, because it's a great offer, isn't it? And there's loads of good stuff on there.
Absolutely.
Including Game of Thrones, Dave Gorman, Dave Brailsford, Sir Alex, Matt Dickinson's new book on Bobby Moore, which is out later this week. You can get an audiobook from that. You've got Bend It Like Bullard, Jimmy Bullard's autobiography. Have a look.
Rio's just released the book, hasn't he?
It might be on there, yeah. And the second reason...
He's not reading it, though. Have you heard some of his radio adverts he's done?
Yeah.
Back into it.
The second reason we're just going over a roundabout here, which is why I'm a bit distracted. I don't want to get killed doing this final link. We are lost in Norbiton. Let's quickly wrap this up. The second reason we do it is because if you do us a favour, sign up. sorry, I'm going to get killed here. If you do us a favour, sign up. It helps keep this podcast free. So obviously, this is all completely self-funded, all the hosting on the website and the podcast and so on.
For us to return to.
Yeah.
To make it back safely.
So please sign up and help us out if you can, because it does help keep the show going. So this is what you need to do. You need to go to audible.co.uk/going up. Don't go to the Audible homepage, go to audible.co.uk/going up, and that is where you can take advantage of this offer. Also, our friends at Prostate Cancer UK have got your back this season. They are the official charity partner of the Football League, and their Man of Men logo is featured on all the squad numbers. You might see if you've got a replica shirt this season. So please do go to their website and sign up for Men United. ProstateCancerUK.org is where you need to go. And the fantasy football as well, which I haven't actually checked the leaderboard, so I can't give you the leader.
I'm doing better than you, I know that. I'm doing
quite
well. Yeah.
Okay, what about the Premier League one that we're doing?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it?
I think you're the opposite end of the table.
Premier League. Oh, come on.
That's true. The Twitter is at Wagyu Podcast, and the brand new website is there. It's live. We are going up.co.uk.
Residents of Southwest London here.
I am. Right, that's it. We'll speak to you next week.
This is the We Are Going Up Podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.